Our next speaker is Tom Killen, the co-founder of the Voxel Agents, who create totally rad iOS games, programmer and game designer. Over to you, Tom.
All right, so this is just Dave talk then. I think we've made almost every single mistake you just outlined, but I think that's okay, because making mistakes is fine. Like, we assume that we're going to make a lot of mistakes. So it's more about how you deal with that or how you sort of approach it in your development process. So I'm basically going to talk today about prototyping and how we use prototyping to try and hopefully discover all the mistakes that we've actually made and get a chance to fix them. But before I go into that, I'm going to talk about when I was at uni, I had this job working for a web design company. And I was doing a lot of HTML and CSS, and there was this graphic designer who I was working with. And he used to always make these really nice round buttons, and this annoyed me as an engineer. Because anyone knows HTML and CSS, you know it's all about boxes. So you've got CSS and div elements and tables, they're all square things. So here was this graphic designer trying to make these nice round buttons and trying to fit these round pegs in my square holes. I didn't understand this, I didn't get what he was trying to do. So I talked to him and I was like, can't we just make these buttons square? Like, can we just try that? It'll be great. And he was like, no, we can't have square buttons. That wouldn't work. But, and so I asked, why not? He said, well, the users, they might cut their fingers on the edges. And so I thought, no, that's not right. That doesn't make sense. So I prototyped it. I made two versions of the website. One had square buttons, one had round buttons. And I took them to the boss. This was my test. And I said, which one do you like better? And he was like, Tom, you're an idiot, round buttons. So I learned something from this. So you've got to like test your idea, make it, and test your hypothesis, and don't assume that you have the answer. So this kind of informed my development process to this day. And at the Voxel Agents, we do a shitload of prototyping. Like, we're basically a company who makes prototypes and sometimes also make games. We just went through an awesome prototyping phase. We spent about probably 2 months on it, and over that time, we made about 20 prototypes. And it's interesting the way that works, because whenever we make one of these prototypes, we never have in our minds that we're trying to make the game. We always have in our minds that we're exploring an idea. And we use each of these prototypes to sort of move ourselves forward. So when we make one of these prototypes, we're not necessarily thinking in terms of, will this be the next game? We're thinking, what's interesting? What have we done right here? What have we done wrong here? These prototypes, they tend to chain off each other. So there was one sort of, I guess you'd call them generations of prototypes, which had this really interesting connection between them. So we'd make one prototype and we liked an idea, which was a small part of the initial prototype. Then we'd expand upon that and make an entirely different game just on that idea. And it sort of just moves you forward. And I guess like there's some theory about like the movement value of thinking and this sort of stuff. But yeah, so it's cool the way that works, because you can really find out what's cool and work out what's actually really fun for the players. And that's also really important, getting players involved and to test the ideas, because we think we're kind of expert and we think we know what we're talking about, but we often don't. Like, we make these assumptions. We would make a prototype and we think it's all really obvious and it plays really well. But then when we finally put it in front of someone, they don't get it or they're not enjoying it. And we just realize we've gotten caught up in our own mental space and we're convinced that we're brilliant until someone proves us wrong. So yeah, so that's like kind of important, having that process about how you test your ideas and how you find all the mistakes that you're actually making. One interesting example of this is in the current game we're working on. So the current game sort of uses this metaphor of trees, and they have to have height, and you sort of cut down these trees, so you have to stand behind them. We didn't like this. We didn't like the idea that you're cutting down trees. It's not a nice sort of game metaphor to use. So we had to experiment and try and think about what else can we do that's not cutting down trees. What, like, you have this beautiful green world, and it's all lush and nice, and then you just come down and cut them all down and make it horrible and brown. Not a good game. So we sort of experimented with a whole bunch of different metaphors to use to explain this game concept. We had, abstract ideas. So you'd have like dice, which maybe have, you know, instead of height, they've got a certain number on them. And so, you know, try to replace height with a number, but that's not as intuitive. A tree, you just understand a tree has height. You understand that it will take up that space, whereas dice doesn't get that idea across. We tried, you know, all sorts of different things, and none of them worked as well as trees. So we're like, okay, we've got to step back and keep using trees. So we now have a game where you cut down trees. How do we make that nice? They're evil trees. This kind of works. So you just find what your pain point is, and you find what the problem is, and you just like constantly just work and focus on that and try and narrow down that solution. So that's how we operate. Like, we're a really heavily iterative development company. We don't do design documents. I don't think I've ever done a design document. Like, I don't understand that. It's sort of like you have this plan for a game, which, you know, you have it all worked out, but the game doesn't exist yet. Like, yeah, there's not, like, I understand that for big teams, they need that, but for us, you know, it's just not our philosophy. So, we always refer to, like, our prototypes when we try and, well, when we sort of finalize our prototyping phase, we'll bring one prototype, sort of the winning prototype, and we'll just expand upon that and sort of try and make an entirely horizontal, you know, well, you know, horizontal prototype, which is sort of a prototype that describes the entire game because it's got all the features in a really rough form in that prototype. And so we'll make that, and that's basically our game design document. We'll always refer to that, you know, simple, rough, ugly prototype, and that will be where we'll get our, that's what will guide us when we're actually developing the real game, which is also cool because it means we can throw it away, but we don't have to publish that. So all the mistakes we made, no one sees them, which is nice, but yeah. So that's basically how we work. So, you know, the process we engage in is like heavily iterative and assuming that we're making mistakes all along the time, all along the development process. And you just need to have systems in place to discover what those mistakes are. And once you find them, you can just polish them up and that gives you the opportunity to fix them. So yeah, our development timeline kind of looks like huge amount of time prototyping, a little bit of time developing, then a whole lot of time fixing up all the mistakes we made during development. So it's like those are the bits which are important. We try to focus on having few features that work really well rather than adding in more features. And we just try and step away from our engineer minds, which are offended by, you know, round buttons and square holes. And we just sort of, you know, try and employ a user hat, try and employ like a sort of designery hat. And we always move forward with the end user in mind and what their pain points likely to be and how we can solve those. So yeah, that's kind of how we work. Yeah.
Cool.
Cheers.
Thank you. Yeah, question.
So what, you've done your prototype and you started working on your final game. What happens if you discover while you're building that, oh, there's something wrong, something needs to be adjusted? Do you go back to the prototype and redo the prototype or?
No, once we've got the prototype locked off, we do step away from that, and then we'll just work on like the final game. But we won't fix the problem in the prototype when we discover that later on. We'll fix the problem in the main game. But then we do sort of go in an iterative. We fix it in a sort of iterative testing way there. So we'll never just think, well, sometimes you do just know it's a quick fix, but like often we'll just go, right, how can we best fix this? What impact does this have on the rest of the game? And then we'll also bring in end users again to sort of test that out and to make sure that it's all working appropriately. So yeah, but yeah, we do just work on the final, like once we're into production, then we just work on the final build. So, Eric?
How many prototypes do you go through before you decide on getting a game and how do you decide which one is worthy?
That's pretty interesting, actually. I might step on the back.
Which
I think. Yeah, but like, so how do we decide which prototype we go with? So in our last prototyping sort of run, we had, there was more than 20 prototypes. But determining which one we actually work on, it's sort of, we also just move forward with the prototype. So I was talking about how like some of the prototypes just spawn different ideas. So we're all sort of moving together as a team. And when it came down to it, we actually only had three prototypes we were sort of considering, but there were only two that we could seriously actually do because the other one was really awesome and big, so we had to discard that even though we were in love with it. So we had two prototypes that were sort of competing against each other. And so we just had to figure out, right, we took a team vote because we don't make a decision unless the whole team's on board. And some of the team were for one prototype, other parts of the team were for the other prototype. So, okay, they both clearly need more time. So we just like iterated them more, made those prototypes more developed, and explored the ideas a little bit further. And then we discovered there were problems in one of the prototypes. So once we hit those problems and we figured out, and we couldn't determine a good solution on how to solve them, it was kind of obvious there was only one choice left. So we just sort of move forward constantly until, like, while we're all on board, until we reach a point where clearly one prototype just isn't working or would take too much radical changes to fix the problem. And then, you know, at that point, it'll be discarded. So whenever a prototype gets discarded, it either turns into something new or we just move forward. So, yeah.
Given that so much of your design process is based on consensus and communication, have you just been really lucky with the people that you've brought on board, or have you been very diligent in making sure that that's maintained as a culture inside the company?
It's an interesting question. Like we do have awesome people. Like we're kind of lucky, and it's one of the benefits of being a small team. There's only five of us, so it's sort of, you know, it's easier to get consensus when there's not many people. But we do talk fairly heatedly, and so, you know, we sort of get up and we're like, we're all invested in ideas, and we'll sort of be at each other's throats going like, this idea should win. But it's okay, like, you just gotta, like, we put that in its box, and, you know, we move forward from that. And so we all sort of understand it's all about the passion for the game. And ultimately, it all comes down to, well, if someone makes an assumption or an assertion, they have to prove it in a prototype. So it's all based upon what the gameplay is doing. And if we're undecided about what that gameplay means, then we'll get users on board and, like, external people to assess it. And then that way it's sort of all sort of metrics driven or, you know, data driven choices. Yeah. And one more.
Yeah, I'm not sure your team closure exactly, but how do non-programmers fit into your prototyping interface?
Well, everyone's involved. So there's three of us who have some programming ability, and then we've got our artist and another designer who doesn't have much programming ability, but everyone's sort of just on board. So, you know, the prototype doesn't have to be code. We have paper prototypes, we have like art mockups, like all sorts of different ideas that just make the game work. Like whatever expresses the idea, that's all that matters. So most of our prototypes are programmed up in Flash, but you know, but that's not at all a requirement. Like the game which we actually ended up moving forward with, it started its life as a paper prototype. So yeah, everyone's got a chance to contribute. Yeah. I think that's about it. But yeah, thanks guys.